powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go now.
All right, we've been waiting for it, and it finally came out. It is the Seahawks' first unofficial depth chart heading into the Steelers game this Saturday, the first preseason game of three for Seattle. No big surprises, although some important things to note along the offensive line. So let's start there. At right tackle, you're starting right tackle right now. I'm sorry, Bump. I know you're waiting for fellow Coug, Abraham Lucas, normally the first one out there on the practice field every single day. But it is Jake Curran, the veteran, still in there as the starting right tackle ahead of this Saturday's game. No other surprises there. Rookie Charles Cross, the only starter. He's been starting, taking every starting snap at left tackle. Damian Lewis, Austin Blythe, Gabe Jackson rounding out the rest of that group. And because you all are obviously wondering, Geno Smith, the starting quarterback ahead of Drew Lock. And finally, at cornerback, you have the two veterans, Sidney Jones and Artie Burns, as your left and right starting corners, with two rookies behind them, Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen.
Yeah, that makes sense. Get your veterans out there first and let these rookies grind. We expected Charles Cross to be probably the only rookie to start. But things can change, man. This is a fluid situation. By the end of the game on Saturday, we can see guys in different spots. But this is traditional football. This is the way it happens. Veterans out first, rookies later.
Now, that's what stands out initially. Jake Curran is your starting right tackle ahead of rookie Abe Lucas. Your two veterans is your starting corners, Sidney Jones and Artie Burns, ahead of your two rookies. And obviously, Geno ahead of Drew in the quarterback battle. No surprises. Like Bump said, veterans are always going to get the nod ahead of rookies because rookies have to come in and prove it. You got to earn it. It's competition. And that doesn't mean that just because you're the new shiny toy, you're immediately given a job. However, do we expect all these things to stay the same? I think that not one, not two, but all three are subject to change, Bump.
Yeah, I think if there are positions that are fighting for their lives right now, it's the corner position. It's the right tackle position, and it's the quarterback position. Everywhere else is pretty much solidified, right? Look at DK and Lockett and Freddie Swain.
Yeah, no,
yes, those guys
there
were good. The linebacker core should be good. Defensive line is good. But that's why this preseason is going to be so much fun to watch, because you get to see these battles play out. We're not used to seeing this many battles when it comes to starting positions. So, yeah, tune in on Saturday and take some notes, because I think we're going to see Boye Mafe. We're going to see Kobe Bryant. Abraham Lucas, Ken Walker, all these guys are going to get their chance to put some pressure on these vets.
Also tune in early on Saturday for the Seahawks pregame show.
Oh, yeah.
Hosted by your own Michael Bumpus, by the way. You guys do 3 hours during the preseason as well, right?
No, preseason we do two.
Two hours during the preseason. 2 hours of Seahawks content. You don't even have to wait for the start of the game. You can tune in to the Seahawks Radio Network to 710 AM, Seattle Sports Station, to hear Michael Bumpus, your boy, leading that one. And you guys have Marcus Trufant on the panel this year. Does that start during the regular season?
No, we got him.
Marcus Trufant.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun. I can't wait to hear. Let's focus on position group by position group before we move on here. We'll start with quarterback. I am wondering when Drew Lock may overtake Geno. I don't think that Drew has done, and you can also talk about this too. I don't know that Drew has done so much that it is just his talent is so tantalizing that you can't do anything but start him. He is not outplayed with a capital O, Geno Smith. I think he's done enough to warrant a greater split of the reps. I'm curious to see what it looks like on Saturday.
For Drew to jump over Geno on Saturday?
Yeah, to leapfrog. What's he got to do?
He's got to be spectacular. And Geno has to look very average or below average. But that's the thing you can count on with Geno, is that at worst, he's going to look average. I don't think he's going to go out there and look like he hasn't been in this league for 10 or 11 years.
No.
I think more pressure on Drew to go out there and go 15 to 17 to start the game. You know what I mean? To throw a deep bomb to Bo Melton to connect on one. They miss one at the mock game. Mm-hmm. Just to make the plays that I don't think Geno's going to make. I don't think Geno's going to push the ball down the field very often. He'll take his shots. I think if there's anyone more likely to do it, it's Drew Lock, man. He will throw it. He does not care.
Now, how about this one? We didn't talk about this, but the defensive line. We're in a 3-4 now. The outside linebackers, exactly what you would expect with Uchenna Nwosu, your number one free agent, and Daryl Taylor on the other side, being kind of those guys, right, that are going to be out there as part of your pass rush. Behind them, Allen Robinson, Boye Mafe trying to get in there and make some noise. You think either of those guys have a chance? Certainly not to surpass those two. If it was week one, I will expect it to be Uchenna Nwosu and Daryl Taylor. They just look great in camp, the two of them.
Yeah.
But are you seeing, I had someone ask about Alton Robinson the other day. I've seen him once in camp where I thought, oh, who's that? Oh, yeah, that's Alton Robinson. But so far, I'm kind of waiting to see that burst, waiting to see big moments from both Boye Mafe and Alton.
Yeah, you could... That's in stone. Uchenna and DT are going to be your starting outside linebackers.
They look great, by the way.
Yeah, they look awesome, man. We've seen Uchenna with a pick. Daryl Taylor get into the mix. He's the mouthpiece out there when it comes to getting the defense fired up. And you're right, I haven't seen much of Alton Robinson yet. He did have his moments last year. I've really just been focusing on Boye Mafe and Tariq Smith now that he's healthy. He's practicing now. What can those guys do to cause havoc? You know, and I think that they have to be in a comfortable place because they know they're not going to start.
Yeah.
Like, this is a different type of pressure. Like, Charles Cross is the only rookie who's feeling a pressure that none of these rookies are feeling. Abe Lucas could feel that. I expect him to start there eventually. But these outside backers, man, they get to go in and just play freely and make and not be so concerned about mistakes that they make. Everyone is going to make a mistake in a game. That's just how this thing goes. But when you are a rookie who's expected to be starter, you make a mistake, you feel it just a bit more. So these guys at Boye Mafe, Tariq Smith, those guys can just go play and have fun. You're still learning. You're still sucking up all this knowledge, but there's not a lot of pressure on you.
Hey, getting back to the quarterback conversation really quickly, I just remembered that I wanted to ask this because a listener on the Mac and Jack's text line asked it yesterday, and I was like, you know, that's a great question. I noticed a little bit of it, but I didn't feel that it was fundamentally like two different playbooks, and I don't think anyone knows that. But when it comes to quarterback style between Geno and Drew, do you find that there's two different styles these quarterbacks are playing?
Style.
I think someone was just noticing like a little more play action with
Drew. You know what? The one thing is more of the play calling.
Okay.
Because we saw during the mock game, like there were some drawn up runs for Drew Lock.
Yeah.
So they obviously want to use his athletic ability. But other than that, it's the same. I mean, Drew can extend plays longer, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And Geno's no slump. It's not like he can't get outside the pocket. But Drew's younger, a bit more mobile. Drew is more likely to throw the ball down the field, like I mentioned. But I think a lot of the responsibility comes on Shane Waldron and how he calls the plays. I think I heard, who is he with? I heard something, and maybe it was on the Salk show, that initially when Geno got the starting job and Russell went down, they were calling the plays as if Russell was still in there. And you can't
and
do that.
And then they realized.
And they realized, like, this is Geno. We have to develop a game plan for Geno. But I think right now for those two quarterbacks, because it's preseason, because they're fighting for a spot, it's man, it's even. They're not going to call things.
What's a game plan for Geno?
Game plan for Geno. I think they have the same game plan. Just Drew Lock has a couple more design runs in. Other than that, it's the same. At least from what I've seen so far.
What makes it different from what Seahawks fans are used to seeing with Russell Wilson?
All the things you expect. You know, we saw during the mock game and during practices the running backs get involved. I believe three running backs had at least two or three catches in the mock game on Saturday.
Yeah.
We're not used to seeing that with Russell Wilson. Less going for your throat type of plays early.
I noticed that.
They're like, okay, we're okay with the five-yard hitch. We're okay with the five-yard out. We're okay with the slant. You know, like we didn't really see them push the ball down the field like we've seen with Russell, but that's the safe bet. And that lets you know just how what they feel about these two guys.
Well, it also lets you know, like, hey, we've been talking for years about tight ends getting more involved. Tight ends. We're going to really get them more involved. They weren't like, well, Colby Parkinson had a pretty nice play. They otherwise weren't heavily involved, but they've been getting involved in practice, I feel.
Yeah, they've been involved. Colby had one at the seam. Noah Fant flashes here and there. Uncle Will, I think he dropped one during the mock game that was intercepted, but then it was a penalty that offset.
He's someone I'm waiting to see get involved more. Colby Parkinson, I have noticed more than, well, I mean, Noah Fant's been involved. Noah's had some drops as well or some moments. Although you've really, really been high on Noah Fant. So I've kind of been like, both him and Kobe Bryant, I've been watching through like the Michael Bumpus lens of like, like Michael Bumpus thinks this guy can be really special. So that kind of shapes how I'm watching him. But I've been doing the same thing of like Will's been fine in camp. There's been nothing bad, but like I'm trying to figure out my own expectations for tight ends / this kind of like middle of the field passing attack.
The philosophy with these tight ends is going to be put you to sleep and then hit them quickly. Every time these tight ends have gotten the football in camp and during the mock game, it's quick hitters. right? I believe that was Colby who got the football thrown to him in a slant. There's a blitz off the edge. Boom, got it to him quickly. I think initially that's how you get these guys the football because they're not going to run by you. I mean, Noah Fett can run, but he's not a Lockett
or DK. These guys are like
6'5". Yeah, they're big boys. They're not made for speed necessarily.
No, these are just like big football dudes without fail. Tight ends, just like big football dudes. Yeah, it'll be, I think the quarterback battle is obviously what we're watching most closely. As far as just the facets of the game that we're watching most closely, I'm most eager to see the defense kind of wrap up plays and finish plays.
I want to see the defense play as violently as I think they can, as fast as I think they can. We spoke to Quandre, was it?
Yes.
We speak to Quandre, and he's said he's watching film and guys are flying around being where it's supposed to be. Like, you don't really know the effect of a defense until that preseason game really gets going because you're not tackling guys. You're laying them down on a pillow all soft and stuff. So I'm excited to see that speed.
Let's see. I'm getting some more questions about who were the starting defensive tackles. Should I just run through this? I'll just run through some of the big ones for you guys. So this is available on the Seahawks official website. It'll be published, I'm sure, before the preseason game, but let's just run through it. So DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, obviously your starting receivers. Noah Fant or Will Disley. That's one of the first interesting ones, is your starting tight end. Officially Noah Fant or Will Disley. I read you through your starting offensive line with the only question there being right tackle Jake. Nick Ballore really in the thick of the fullback competition, but leading that. Leading the pack there. So much competition at fullback. Rashad Penny is your starting running back. Ken Walker's been fun, but I don't think anyone's pushing Penny for your starting role there. He is the guy. Kenneth Walker and DJ Dallas are in there as the number two back. Those guys used interchangeably. Let's go to the defensive line. You have outside linebackers, Uchenna Nwosu and Daryl Taylor are your two starters there. The interior of your line, Al Woods, your nose tackle, and then Shelby Harris, Puna Ford, the two big guys on either side. Quentin Jefferson, Brian Monet, LJ Collier playing behind those three, respectively. Linebackers, starting inside linebacker Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, Bump, you can attest to all of this. It's all been the same in camp. Sidney Jones and Artie Burns are your two starting corners. Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, though what you guys are wondering is who's backing those guys up, right? Well, Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen and John Reed are the backups, immediate backups to Sidney Jones and Artie Burns. Interesting to see Tariq Woolen there, if anything, is the number two guy. We're going to be talking to him later today, by the way, but I think he made his case for some more time during the mock game.
He definitely did. Had a couple of PBUs, open field tackles. I believe Noah Fant had an opportunity to catch a football on the sideline. Yep. He punches it out late. The technique looked good. No one got behind him. I mean, there was a lucky touchdown caught on him by Thompson, but he was in such great position that the quarterback hit him in the head with the football, and then it pops up and Cody grabs it. So I was extremely impressed by Tariq Woolen, especially because he has not played this position a lot.
Yep.
So he's going to stumble a bit. He's going to have his ups and downs, but he is starting just on a great note. I love it.
Who's listed as the backup center? Good question. Let me go back to it. Kyle Fuller. Dakota Shepley is the third backup center. Colby Parkinson is your second tight end after Noah Fant and Will Disley as your starters. Tyler Mabry also in there. Wide receiver group looks as expected with your rookies, Bo Melton and Derek Young in there as the number three guys behind Marquise Goodwin, Aaron Fuller, Freddie Swain, et cetera, et cetera. Guys we're expecting to be competing for wide receiver three. By the way, Marquise Goodwin, someone we thought, well, he could be a veteran who doesn't end up making the squad. Have you been changing your mind on that? Because I'm kind of coming around to the idea that Goodwin actually makes this team.
Yeah, I am. He, like I said, he's a guy who's going to affect the game in ways that you don't really see, and you can draw up plays for this guy because of his speed. Another young receiver that looked good was Derek Young during the mock game.
Yeah, he did. I didn't mention him enough. If there was a third name that I should have mentioned after Drew, after Tariq Woolen, it should have been Young.
Yeah, right. Derek looked good. He had a run after the catch. They caught him down like on the five, but in real life football, he's scoring a touchdown. 83 looked good.
Where is Marquise Blair listed? Good question, 360. This one's tricky because nickel corner on the depth chart is not like its own separate position. So all those guys, Justin Coleman, Ugo Amadi, Marquise Blair, are just listed back in the depth chart with Marquise Blair being like the third strong safety, though were he competing in the nickel spot is maybe in there competing behind Coleman for that. So the one area where depth is a little unsure is going to be at nickel corner, to be frank. How do you see that kind of working out with Justin Coleman, Marquise Blair, Ugo Amadi, and then at what point does Blair actually become in the conversation for the strong safety?
Well, I think Justin Coleman obviously has the first shot at this corner spot.
1,000%.
I mean, he's been here a couple times. He's changed the game, honestly, when it comes to nickels getting paid. I think Marquise Blair would be right after him, and I think Ugo has to make an impact on special teams for him to hang around a bit longer. And, you know, I think Marquise Blair is a guy that you can move anywhere. You can see him playing nickel. You can see him playing both safety spots. And if need be, I think he can play corner as well. So Marquise Blair has the advantage of being able to do a lot effectively. Now, we haven't seen a lot of him because he has been injured or banged up the past year.
Yep.
But when you watch him move, you look at style of play, you look at his size, you can put him anywhere. A guy like Ugo Amadi, he's the one who has to make a big play on special teams, which he can. When he was in Oregon, he had a couple punts to the house, a return to the house. So that's where I was kind of confused that they weren't using him in the kick game a bit more than they did last year. I think you put the ball in Ugo's hand and see what he can do.
All right. If you guys have any more questions, text them into the Mac and Jacks text line, 206-421-3776. Bob Condotta has a screenshot of the depth chart at B Condotta, and it'll also be released prior to the preseason game where we'll all be tweeting out pictures of that so you can see it. But I'm not going to keep going at it here, but I'll respond to your text if you have more questions about depth. Right now, let's get to Hype Train. All right, we are heading to the station for a Hype Train. I am telling you, Bump, and you, Curtis, a trend in the world of sports this week, a prediction, something like that. You are telling me whether you are buying it, you're believing it, you're boarding the train, or whether it's nothing but hype. So here we go. I got Mariners for 1 and 2 here. The Mariners will take game 2 against the Yankees with Luis Castillo on the mound. But that's not the only part of this Hype Train, because if you're boarding it, they're not just taking game 2, they're taking game 3.
I'm not getting on this train.
No!
I think they will take game 2 because of Castillo, but winning another one is going to be tough. You see this lineup. I mean, the Yankees get off the bus looking like superheroes in baseball uniforms. It's amazing just the talent that they have. It'd be nice to take one, and I think they take the one with Castillo.
Curtis, the Hype Train is that the Mariners take game 2 against the Yankees with Luis Castillo on the mound. Oh, and also, they take game 3. Bump said, look, I love Castillo. I think they win today, but I'm not buying a series win.
I'm stunned that Bump would even pass on a single train. He hasn't done that.
Last time
he hasn't
done that in weeks.
Bump's just letting it go.
I've been traveling too much, man. I gotta chill.
Yeah. I gotta get home.
I got home and Jennifer was like, a lot of money on trains.
Yeah. I didn't know you had stock in Amtrak. Okay. We'll take game 2 and game 3.
You bored in this?
I think they take tonight. I think Luis Castillo continues to be the Yankees' daddy. And I think game 3.
Board it, man. Board it. Board it. You want to play the horn, Curtis. Board the train.
I'm playing the horn.
Yes!
Let's go.
Oh!
Robbie Ray will out-duel Nasty Nestor Cortez in game 3. I think, Luis Castillo, I have all the faith in the world in him tonight.
I have all
Can't
the faith.
Can't wait to be let down, but I think they get it. I think they get it done.
I have all the faith in the world in the Mariners tonight. With the two of you, I am boarding the train as far as just game 2, but the train is for game 3. Go ahead and play the horn, Curtis.
Right,
I'm boarding the train. I am boarding the train. I don't know why. Something about a Mariners day game. It's just a 1:10 p.m. first pitch. It just feels right. It just feels. It feels like a win. You know what I mean?
All right.
I feel good about it. Bump's salty. He's at the station by himself. That's
I'm chilling.
Okay. Here
I'm
we
chilling.
Go. Another hype train
into
the
later.
Station.
He's got a Cinnabon.
All right, Bump. Let's see if you board this one. Julio Rodriguez eligible to return from the injured list this Wednesday, as in tomorrow. The hype train is that he actually does. He is in the lineup for Wednesday.
I'm not getting on that train.
No.
I want to. I really want to, but I
who
think,
is this Bump?
I think that
I don't know this guy anymore.
His golf
You're
weekend
safe.
Changed.
I know.
You're different.
Is that Tyler Lockett in studio?
Oh my God.
I get them confused.
Number
all the time.
16.
The wrong 16. Actually, my number is 710 10-2.
Yeah.
There you
7,
go.
710 10-2.
But no, I want to get on this hype train, but I think they have to proceed proceed with extreme caution with him. If there's any type of pain or feeling or tingling going on, you don't mess with it because he's so important to what they want to do after this series. I want to, but I can't get on.
The hype train is that Julio is in the lineup tomorrow. The minute he's eligible to return, Bump says, you know what? Once again, I'm not boarding this train. I'm cool, calm, collected, Bump, now. I'm saving some money. I'm not getting on back-to-back trains anymore. Curtis, are you?
I am getting on this train.
Wow, now Curtis is the reckless one.
Yeah, I think Julio Rodriguez is just so motivated to get back into this lineup and also get a chance to play against the Yankees. He's never done that before in his career. He missed the entire series against them in Yankee Stadium. I think he gets back on Wednesday, and I think he goes yard in that game. I think Julio's back in a big way on Wednesday. So I am boarding this train.
Ah, man.
Am I buying a sleeper car? No. I'm just buying a little, it's like the train from Seattle.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, it's like the train from Seattle
That's
to Portland.
Right.
It only takes a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's basically like riding in a car.
I am, look, I took the Mariners to win tonight, and I took them to win tomorrow. Why? Because Julio's going to be in this lineup. He's bringing some much-needed power, and that is going to be enough to get the job done. Final hype train into the station. We're leaving T-Mobile, and we're heading to Lumen Field, although we're not actually staying there. Instead, we're heading over to wherever the heck the Steelers are playing now.
Used to be Heinz.
I don't know, whatever
I'm
it is.
I'm unsure about
that. That is where the first preseason game for the Seahawks will take place this Saturday, August 13th, where, this is the hype train, tell me if you're boarding, Drew Lock will outplay Geno in the Seahawks' first preseason game.
I'm getting on that train.
I'm
getting on
the
train.
There's the bump we know.
Drew Lock is going to outplay Geno because Drew Lock is going to have more opportunities to outplay Geno.
Okay.
I think Geno starts early. He gets his reps, a few series, and then you throw number two in there and say, all right, we know Geno. We've seen him the last couple of years. Let's see what you can do, young man. Can you run this offense? Can you make it work with these two receivers with a number two offensive line with Ken Walker in the backfield? Even though the twos are going to be up, there's still some weapons, man. He still has Derek Young and Bo Melton. I think Freddie will still get some time over there at the receiver spot. He's still got Colby Parkinson at the tight end. I mean, these twos aren't as good as the ones, but there are some weapons over there. I'm on it.
All right, the hype train is that Drew Lock will outplay Geno Smith in the Seahawks' first preseason game this Saturday, August 13th, against the Steelers at Pittsburgh. Bump says, yeah, in part because Geno's going to get out there, get his rest, and the team's going to want to see what they have in Drew. Bump boards his first train. Curtis, are you going to board your third?
Do I dare? Do I dare board
are
a third train
that bold?
Today? Oh, I'm bold. I'm done.
Let's
I'm
go.
Riding. I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at Amtrak guest rewards. All right, that's how on this train I am right now. I think Drew Lock will outplay Geno Smith in Game One, forcing Pete Carroll's hand to give him number one reps in Game Two. I think we will see more of Drew Lock as the preseason rolls on. Do I think they're still entertaining the thought of bringing in another quarterback outside of the organization? I hope so, too. But
for messiness' sake.
Yeah, but I think Drew Lock is going to get number one reps, and I'm going to be cashing in my Amtrak guest rewards for a $50 gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse, because that's one of the prizes
right.
I'm looking at right now.
Well, I'm glad that the two of you were finally able to board the train together. I know that
Thank you.
You guys were ready for
it's
a
great.
Boys' day
yeah.
on the train, and you finally got there.
Meet me on the train, Bump!
It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and SeattleSports.com. Tariq Woolen, Seahawks cornerback, is going to join us in about 20 minutes. Before we get to that, though, things are getting messy in Chicago. We'll tell you what you need to know next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, things are messy in Chicago, where Bears linebacker Roquan Smith has officially requested a trade.
Yeah, two-time second-team All-Pro guy. He says that the offer was disrespectful. He said it would reset the market for linebackers if he signed that deal. Says the organization isn't operating in good faith. That does not sound good for your best player in your organization right now. You must make him feel wanted and make him feel valued, or you're going to find things like this. It's always interests me when players request trades. I'm like, man, I wish I could hear both sides of the story to kind of really see what's going
down. Like what one player is asking for. Like what if he's asking for... I was wondering that sometimes at the beginning, DK never requested a trade, but at the beginning of DK Metcalf negotiations when Pete Carroll hinted that he'd hoped that they would have gotten something done sooner, I wondered if at the time, is DK asking for like $30 million?
Yeah, because you never really know.
You never know.
But he's...
I don't think he was.
He's making it seem like he's looking out for all linebackers. So, you know. You gotta reset the market sometimes.
All right. The Bears, meanwhile, speaking of messiness in Chicago, are still trying to figure out what their wide receiver situation is going to be. N'Keal Harry, as you guys know, suffered a pretty serious ankle injury, which means they've got, like, no one who's able to catch passes from Justin Fields. Man, you got to feel bad for... Not bad for the Bears, who have also put themselves in this situation, but for Justin Fields, a young quarterback in maybe the worst situation of any second-year quarterback in the league. You've talked about this, Bump.
Definitely the worst situation. You still got David Montgomery, who's a good running back, but you need help. I mean, you got... when you lose N'Keal Harry, who hasn't done much anyway. It's not like N'Keal Harry was going to come in and save the day, but sometimes a fresh start is good. Sometimes you get rejuvenated and you find chemistry with a Justin Fields. It just makes his job that much harder. They need to send some help over there ASAP.
All right. From the NFC North to the NFC East, where the Giants had a fight at practice in camp yesterday. Although, here's the interesting twist. It was actually started by a coach. So, New York Giants offensive line coach Bobby Johnson initially pushed linebacker Cam Brown, which started a fight at practice yesterday. Bobby Johnson has since apologized for what he did.
Coach is tripping. I'm looking at a picture of Coach. He's got to be like almost 60 years old, if not 60. And you're attacking a young bull like that? I don't care what it said. You can't. Players fighting during camp is a common thing. But when you throw a coach in there and the coach has to apologize because he started the whole deal, what's going on, New York Giants? I'm looking at a picture of Barkley looking at Coach like, you are tripping right now.
Right?
Calm yourself down.
So this is some background on the fight. This is from ESPN. The fight on Monday started not long after Saquon Barkley lowered his shoulder, and he sent cornerback Aaron Robinson flying during a thud period, which made the defense mad. So then one linebacker, Tay Crowder, took a little extra aggression on the next two plays. So then the offensive line coach came in and got involved there. After some other guys were taking issue with that. So it just kind of escalated and escalated until Johnson, the offensive line coach, was the one who kind of got involved and pushed a player.
Yeah. Stuff like that happens. Coaches stay out of it. Let the players handle it.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things with, like, you can't have that.
Don't involve
yourself. You cannot have any head coach ever getting involved in a fight. Who was the head coach? Not head coach. Do you guys remember, was it a coach for the Steelers who stuck out his leg to trip a player, or the Jets?
It was the Jets. Sal Alossi.
That's who it was. Yeah, I remembered there was, because there have been instances of coaches getting involved.
Mike Tomlin did kind of get in the way of a Ravens kick returner a few years ago.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Maybe. They both did.
They both did it.
All right. Well, if anyone's surprised about Trey Lance starting, you shouldn't be. The team's made it very clear, and now it's a fish. You will see him start the preseason game for the 49ers on Friday. He might be the player in terms of second-year players in general, but certainly maybe even including rookies. He's not a rookie, but we haven't seen much of him. He is one of the players I'm most interested to see this year, Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, yeah. Want to see that. And he had a bad day, last week, and now you're hearing he's back on point. That's why you can't always believe what you hear coming out of training camps, because it's training camp. They're trying new things, getting to know the new quarterback.
It's just like one of those things where you're waiting to see. The 49ers can go very strongly in one of many directions.
Yeah.
They aren't going to be a mediocre. I mean, they might be a mediocre team, but it's like they can either be bad if he doesn't take off and they really struggle or get injured, or they can be really good. Like, you could see them fighting with the Rams, especially if Matthew Stafford can't bounce back right from that elbow injury, and he's still having some soreness.
You can be scary good. You got a young, athletic quarterback who is surrounded by weapons and a great defense with a head coach who knows how to call a game.
All right, to the AFC East, from the NFC East to the AFC East, where Jets right tackle, Mekhi Becton is officially out for the season with a broken kneecap. He injured his knee the other day in training camp. The team was initially optimistic, but head coach Robert Saleh has since said his season is likely done. He's got a fracture in the knee.
Unfortunate. You never want to lose your big man. No, don't want to lose anybody, but especially your big man on that offensive line. He's going to be responsible for helping protect Zach Wilson. And with all the weapons that they have over there, I believe that the hype was building around the Jets to see who they bring in to replace him.
All right. Also in NFL news, this one not with any division, but it is about a former Seahawk. Running back Marshawn Lynch, former Seahawks running back, as you guys all know, was arrested in Vegas this morning after officers claim he was driving under the influence. He was pulled over near the Vegas Strip at 7:25 in the morning. TMZ Sports reports that he was driving into curbs on the side of the road before the traffic stop.
Unfortunate, man. You never want to see anyone get into in any type of trouble, especially when it comes to being behind the wheel under the influence. Hope it all works out for him. Not a good look. But, yeah, man. Prayers up.
Now, again, that story technically happened this morning, though the story itself is still breaking, so it's a developing story. We'll give you guys more information there as it comes out and as necessary. Let's go to a feel-good story. Yannick Ngakoue with the Indianapolis Colts now surprised local teachers with school supplies. ESPN has the story. Students at Southview Elementary were among many in central Indiana, per ESPN, who have a new benefactor. So he brought in a bunch of new school supplies for all these kids. He had an Amazon delivery driver show up to the teacher's home on Sunday with several boxes of snacks, books, and assorted supplies for students.
That's awesome. More love for the teachers, man. Underappreciated. They're helping shape the future. Good story.
Well, and this is what's really... So this is kind of the story behind it. So this teacher had an Amazon wish list of things that she needs for her class, and she's not the only one. A number of teachers, public school teachers do this, as anyone listening who's a teacher will know, is that a lot of teachers fund stuff for their own classroom. Yeah. So they'll have like the minimum supplies that they have for their classroom, and then on top of that they'll be like, well, my kids, I want these books for my kids, I want new markers for my kids, I need this stuff to be able to teach them. And so they have to kind of like crowdsource or get donations from people. It's wild. I can't believe the teachers have to do this. Anyways, so Ngakoue fulfilled 31 wish lists of teachers. So 31 teachers, he went out and bought everything on the wish list. He wants to be able to reach 91, which is the same as his jersey.
That's awesome.
That's
yeah,
really
teachers.
Awesome.
I know, man, one of my best teachers in all the land is Ifwe Kanigwe back in Carthay Center. Used to do the same thing. She used to buy McDonald's for us and bring it in. Like, all love. Love teachers.
It's really cool. Like, it's a very cool thing to do. Anytime anyone with money that they are willing to give gets involved with someone who needs it, it's really cool. But for Yannick Ngakoue to think about something that I think is typically overlooked, like, I think that the average person may not know how many teachers have to buy their own supplies for students. So for him to go out on Twitter and be like, hey, any local teachers, if you have an Amazon wish list that you have for your class, drop it here and I'll buy everything on the list.
That's literally
what he did. He was like on Twitter, hey, let me know if you've got this wish list and I'll take care of you. I just feel like it's something like, it's really important to get involved no matter what you're doing. Animal shelters, children's hospitals, whatever it is. But there are also little things that are overlooked, right? Like little things people forget about that I think that's really cool.
And when you have that disposable income that he has, yes, spread the love.
You go, Yannick Ngakoue. Four for you, Glenn Coco. All right, this hour, Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Tariq Wolin, Seahawks Corner, joins us next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is Seahawks cornerback Tariq Wolin. Tariq, how's your very first NFL training camp going?
Shoot, it's been going real well, honestly. I feel like the more and more each day go by, I get real comfortable being around my teammates and the coaches and just embracing, you know, all the great fans that come to the training camp practices.
Tariq, 4.26? Like, come on, man. Did you think you were going to run a 4.26? So I train with guys who are like, they're around 4.4s, and then you run it, you get hyped, and you run that 4.3. Did you think you were going to run a 4.26?
Oh, yeah, it was no doubt I was going to run a 4.2. It's just leading up to the combine while I was training in Florida at XPE. It was me and two other guys that were running pretty low times. I was lower than 4.3, and we was doing it on a day-to-day basis. So whenever it came to the combine, we ran anything over a 4.3, we knew something was wrong.
Now, there are a few cornerbacks who are as big as DK Metcalf and can run as fast as DK Metcalf, but you were covering everyone all day, right place, right time during the mock game, and unfortunately, nothing more you could have done. You just got unlucky on two plays that I feel like 8 times out of 10 you come up with a pick. How did it feel to get so involved early?
Shoot. I mean, it just felt good, honestly, because I felt like I was making plays, and as long as I keep doing that, then it just keep building confidence, and I know I can do it. I just got to keep trusting my technique and just keep trusting the way I play, because, you know, I feel like my style of play feels kind of different from everybody else that plays corner just because my size and my length and my speed, too.
Now, Tariq, you used to be a wide receiver. If I can go back to my playing days, I would have made the switch to DB, man. I would have gone that way. Because you go to these camps and everybody wants to be a dub R, right? Nobody really wants to be a DB. What was that transition like for you, and what like pushed you in that direction?
Well, I wasn't really getting too much playing time as a receiver at the time. And it was pretty crazy just because I always thought I deserved to play as a receiver. And then one day my coach was like, hey, would you like to, you know, move to cornerback? And I was, like, reluctant at first just because, like, I never played defense in my life. And at practice, I try to go with the wide receivers, and they just kept forcing me to go to the DBs. And so that's just how it really happened. And that was, like, 2019 before COVID. And I had played, like, one game at corner, like, the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. And when the new coaches came to my college for the 2020 and 2021 season, they were just like, hey, would you like to still play corner? And I told them, yeah.
So you had a lot of catching up to do. What did you do specifically to try to make up that ground at corner? Did you reach out to former players, current teammates, anything like that, work with coaches independently?
Well, so I remember when COVID had hit, that was like around the time I really started to buy in, and I started working with a trainer. He wasn't like a real trainer or anything, but like he was a guy that played football before, and he was like at the time he was like a FedEx driver, UPS driver. His name was Tylan Pierce, and I used to just train with him. And, like, we just go at it each and every day. And then after COVID restrictions had released, I finally got to go back to the campuses and stuff and build my team. And that's when I got to meet with the new coaches, and I just started learning the techniques they taught me.
How you liking Washington so far? You're Texas, dude. How you liking it up here?
I like it a lot just because it ain't as hot as Texas, really. You know, in Texas right now, it's probably burning up. I remember I was texting my friends yesterday. It was like 105 to like 110 and
oh, gross.
97, 98. And I come here and the weather is nowhere near that. And the people out here say it's hot. And I'm like,
it
oh,
is
yeah,
hot.
No, it's not hot.
That's how I feel. I always forget how many players, especially like the guys that are from Florida, they'll be out there in like sweaters. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Because I'm from here. So I'm looking around. Bump's from California. So it's not as, it's not Florida
it's not,
hot.
It's but not Texas hot.
It's not Texas
show.
Hot. That's definitely true. Tariq, how have you liked getting to be around some new teammates? I mean, you've played around some big guys, but being able to play, now you're not the same position group, but playing around Jamal, playing around Quandre, has there been anyone you've met where you've been like, oh man, I'm in the NFL now?
That's how I kind of felt when I first had got here. I really didn't see too many of the star players of the team or whatever. And throughout time, and then when mandatory minicamp had came, I was like, dang, so these guys are really here. Like, guys you see all on TV or play with on Madden, like, they're your teammates. Because I remember just sitting there one day, and it was like a Nesquik commercial with DK on it. And I was like, what the heck? That's really my teammate now. So it's pretty cool.
When I got my first opportunity in the NFL, we played against the 49ers. I grew up a 49ers fan. I know Seattle fans are going to hate me for that, but I grew up a Niner fan. Who was your team growing up, and are they on the schedule this year?
Honestly, I never really had a team, really. I just like to watch a lot of TV. Whenever sports and stuff came on, I just, you know, caught the playoffs or just caught any big game or something like that. But the only way I was finding out players was through Madden, really. I just used to play a lot of Madden when I was younger.
What's your Madden game like?
Oh, yeah. I think it's pretty good, honestly. I think it's pretty good. You know, you might have to test me out on that, but I think I'm a really good Madden player. But that's how I was used to find out about players. And I know my family like big Cowboys fans, so yeah. they're really excited for the preseason game that we got going to Dallas.
I was going to say, you're probably going to get a chance to go against some of the guys, quite literally, that you've played in Madden. Which is going to be wild. I always think that for like the younger guys, like guys that are around your age that come in here, it's like, it's one thing for people Bumper or I's age, because we're about 10 years older, to come in and be like, oh, I watched this guy on SportsCenter and I saw highlights. Okay. But to play someone in a video game, it's a different level. So have you, now question, back to DK. Have you gone either DK with Tyler, with anyone working one-on-one with him?
I mean, other than, you know, just the 7-on-7s and just going against them in different team periods, that's pretty much it, really. But, like, I try to, like, they'll try to talk to me, and I try to, like, pick up any game that they teach me. Like, throughout plays or in between plays, me and DK, I have a couple talks just, like, block destruction or what to do on this play and stuff just to help me get better.
So you're going to Pittsburgh this weekend. It's going to be your first preseason game. What are expectations you set for yourself?
Honestly, just go out there and play to the best of my ability and just go out there and you know, just since this is my first game, it'll be a lot of new things going on, and I just want to embrace it all, really. But as long as I do my role and, you know, do whatever my team needs me to do, then that's all that really matters to me, you know. People say preseason don't count, but, you know, I think it's personal when you go out there and compete versus a whole different team. So just going out there and just, you know, worrying about week one and try to be 1-0, that's really what the main goal is right now.
Hey, Tariq, preseason don't count for the top five picks in the league.
That's it.
Everybody else, you out there working, man.
Facts.
What's the competition like between the corners? Because you have, you know, you got some veterans over there, and it's a friendly competition, right? You guys are all teammates. But at the end of the day, it is a competition. What's that been like?
It's been pretty smooth just because they know, you know, in order to be a great room, you got always got to encourage each other. So no matter if anybody moves up or down the depth chart, they always keep it the same, and they always keep it 100 with you. And they just, you know, just find different ways to help you get better, you know, from the little things with technique or using your hands, just because they vets too and they've been here before. So as long as you, you know, listen to what the vets say and what the coaches say, then you should be good.
Text in from a listener, Tariq, this kid sounds so chill. Life's not too big for him. I'm a big fan already. Tariq, something tells me it'll be easy for you to make plenty of fans. You're fun to watch, man. So we'll be rooting for you. We'll be watching you in Pittsburgh and look forward to talking to you later this season.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And I thank y'all for having me on the show. And just know that this is going to be a special season in years to come. So
thanks so much, Tariq. We believe it. All right. He is Seahawks cornerback Tariq Woolen. Man, he is fun to watch. Like, you forget how young sometimes he is because he really is a baller out there. That guy, I'm telling you, like, you're watching one play on the field and all of a sudden you just see someone sprinting off to the side and you realize it's Tariq Woolen covering Rashad Penny or covering DK.
He looks good. Watch 39.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. All right, this hour, Bump and Stacy, is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We are actually wrapping up Bump and Stacy, though Michael Bumpus and myself aren't going anywhere. It is the Dugout. Scott Service getting us started next.